My name's Roger Nix, and I'm privileged to serve on the U.S. and Global Boiler Room Network team. I'm a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and have been part of 24/7 for many, many years since the very beginning, and grateful that you're here. I want to just welcome you. Today we're going to look at a little bit of the seasons of life that we go through. How do we discern the kind of season that we're in and navigate some of the challenges of those phases? But I want to begin. I do a lot of coaching in this arena with a ministry called Your One Degree. And so I want us to begin today just by talking a little bit about the theology a purpose, because one of the fundamental questions that we all wrestle with at one time or another in our life is, did God create me on purpose? Did God create me with purpose? Or am I just part of God's creation, right? Was he intentional in the way that he made me? Did he handcraft me on purpose, for a purpose? And if so, does he aid me in the discovery process of that purpose? Right? Is there something for me to align to in my life? That's an important question that we need to ask. Because at some point in life, you have to pick a lane and you have to decide, God, is there something for me to discover about myself? Was I made on purpose with purpose? And I mean, you really have to believe it. I like what Mark Twain, I'm in England and I'm giving you Mark Twain quote, because I could give you many, amazing authors from the UK, or from Europe. I'm not in England, what am I talking about? Sorry about that. I'm speaking English. But Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you discover why. Your desire to discover who you are and what you're made for is actually proportional to your belief that you were created with intent and purpose. You are not an accident. Come on. Does that make anybody happy? But at some point in the journey, you have to stop wondering about that and you have to start discovering. What does that look like? Okay? I believe one of the most devastating lies that has been injected into the culture is that there is no God. And it's devastating for this reason. When you get rid of the creator, then you get rid of design. And when you get rid of design, then you get rid of purpose or intent. And when you get rid of purpose, you're no longer living, you're actually just existing. So one of the ways that we grow in our trust for our designer, and we grow in faith, is learning to trust in our design. Let me ask it this way. How can you trust in a designer if you don't trust your design? Right? If you're not okay with the way God made you, and this is really significant. Because God has wired in each and every one of us certain unchangeables. No matter how hard we want to try to be someone else or be different, we can't be. So I want us to just, for a minute, establish a biblical foundation for why we need to pursue, why would we pursue purpose in our life, and does life have purpose and meaning, and how do we know? And this is important in navigating the seasons in our life, which you'll understand in just a minute. But let's begin with this beautiful scripture, Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, and we're wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That sounds pretty purposeful, doesn't it? Sounds like there's a lot of intention. There are many other scriptures that we could look at. Jeremiah 1:5, I love this. God tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God had purpose for Jeremiah's life, right? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." That word handiwork is actually poema. You are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, you were prepared in advance. You were created on purpose, with purpose. Romans 2:28 says, "We are assured and know that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose." Right? Any others come to your mind as we're thinking about this? Any other scriptures that would indicate our purpose and our intent? Not, it's okay. I'm just.
About 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay.
Just your how He has made you with spiritual gifts.
Right. Yeah.
Each make up different forms of
God has distributed gifts to us, right? Yes. I had the opportunity one time to meet Glenn Keane, who was the director of Disney Animation. He was the creator of Ariel and Mufasa and all, you know, a bunch of great characters, you know. And he's a believer, and he says, you know, as an artist, before I ever draw a character on the page, I have the image, I know what I'm drawing, I have His design in mind when I'm drawing him. And I think God is no different. God has your design in mind when He created you. So how do we respond to this? Well, biblically, I think this is a good approach. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's in the Message, and it simply says, "Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with your prayer. You must take responsibility for doing the created best you can with your own life." Right? So, if we think about purpose, your purpose, our design, we could at least identify three areas or dimensions of purpose and design that we live with. First is just our universal purpose. You were created in the image of God, and God called you to be fruitful and productive and to steward the earth, to steward what He's created, to steward your creation and steward your design and steward your story is a very big part of why you were created. Okay? And it's important that you understand that. So we all get in on that, right? So everyone in the room's here. Yeah? You're good? Secondly, we know that we have a general Christian purpose, right? If we have said yes to Jesus, we get to call upon His name, and then we spend the rest of our lives learning how to love, listen, and obey Jesus in all of life so that we may be transformed into His image and His likeness. So there's purpose in our journey in Christ, right? And then third, I love the Westminster Catechism, which says that the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I think we can only enjoy God as He truly is when we discover who we truly are, right? John Piper says it this way: God is most glorified when we are most, what? Satisfied. Have you ever heard that? It's a great quote. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied. And I think the way that we're satisfied when we can be who we are and are comfortable living in our own skin and learning how to navigate and journey. So part of the process is the spiritual process of transformation. How does that work? Transformation, the spiritual process of transformation actually renews our minds so that we can understand God's purpose and design for our life. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." If you're living out a life that is good, acceptable, and perfect, you're probably living out of your design and your intent and your purpose, right? On all three levels, all three dimensions. That I believe that each and every one of us have, that runs through your life like a golden thread. And that golden thread of your life is actually your unique design. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, your unique design is so intrinsic to who you are. I could take you and drop you into any situation. I could drop you into the jungles of South America. I could drop you into the deserts of the Middle East. I could put you anywhere, and who you are is going to come out. No matter what you're doing, no matter what career you have, no matter what job you have, that is the golden thread of your design, right? So you don't want to try to be somebody you're not. You want to be who you are in the midst of that situation you're in, so that what you'll be doing for the rest of your life is three things, okay? The first is you're going to be discovering your design, all right? And when I say design, I want to just enumerate some things that you are made of, that are part of who you are, that each and every one of us have. First is we all have drivers. These are the things that motivate you more than anything else, right? The abilities that you love to use because they give you this deep sense of satisfaction. You enjoy the results that they produce. And actually, when you're living and functioning out of your drivers, it actually energizes you. Okay? You guys ever have things that when you do them, man, you just come alive and you're kind of like, man, I could do this all day. Right? Why is that? If we were to go around and share in the room what, you know, makes you come alive and what you could do for hours on end, I guarantee you that it would be different. Because that's part of your design. So a driver is a part of your design. So guess what else is a part of your design? The experiences that you have. Okay? Why do you know what you know? Why have you gone through what you've gone through? Your experiences actually become part of your design and part of your makeup and part of your story. And then there's things like your skills. Okay? Your skills are just the talents, the things that you like to do and you do them well, or you have a strong knowledge and expertise in them. Things that you've spent many years developing and growing in. Your skills and passions, things that you feel very strongly about, which regularly move you to learn more about or to take action. They may be needs that you like to meet. The things that cause you to feel compassion. And then there's your giftedness. Okay? Dan talked about spiritual gifts, but we all have gifts. We all have beautiful gifts. And these are just God-given. The things that enable you to have spiritual impact on others. And so it's important that we understand our gifts. And then there's your nature, your personality, the traits and capacities which seem to be most predominant, the positive ones in your life which seem to be most used by God to accomplish things and help enrich others in your life. Okay? How many of you know what your personality temperament is? Have any of you have ever done personality temperament analysis, or the four temperaments, you know? Right. That's really important, because that's who you are, and it helps determine. And so the more that you understand, you know, what drives you, and the more you understand that the experiences you have shape you. I have when my wife and I were early in our marriage, we adopted our second son is adopted. And about 3 or 4 years in, we discovered that he has some special needs and he's intellectually disabled, right? That experience has shaped us. He was neglected as a child. He came with lots of issues and lots of stuff in his little suitcase that has shaped us and changed who I am and how I live, how I relate to others. It's changed what I do. I'm a big fan of Special Olympics. I would have never been a part of Special Olympics had I not had a special needs son. Probably. I might have, but I don't know. But my experiences shaped those, okay? And your design is important, your unique design, because, listen, there's a lot of things you can do in life. How do you know what to do? How do you know what direction you're to go in? You know, as believers, we want to pay attention, obviously, to what God is saying. But what if God is trying to speak to you through your design? Attention to who he's made me to be as a way of discovering what he wants me to do. I promise you it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Because you know, imagine a circle with 360 degrees, right? And you can go in any direction. But as you begin to focus on your design, what happens is, I believe that each and every one of you have this one degree that as you begin to steward your design, you begin to live and operate out of that design, that the Lord begins to kind of smile on that. Have you ever done something where when you've done it, you just kind of felt God smile? You're like, oh, God kind of invades it a little bit, and it seems like, whoa, wow, this is maybe what I'm supposed to do and be, all right? So there are elements of your design. All of those elements require three things if you're going to learn how to live out of them real quick. First of all, you got to discover them. Now, I want to just say at the end here, I'm going to give you a website if you want to find more about, there are some tools that we've developed at Year One Degree that can help you with this, that are really brilliant, just exercises that are designed to get you thinking about, you know, what your design is. But if you don't do that, which I'm not advocating for, I'm just saying, you know, we need help in this, right? So there's lots of ways to do this. There's strength finders. There's all kinds of assessments that you can take that just begin to give you glimpses of who you are in your life, okay? But whatever it is you do, you have to begin to try to go on this journey of discovery of what is my design? And how do I know whether things that, you know, are part of my design or not? Well, really, there's one really easy way to know, and that's whether or not these things in your life are greens or yellows or reds, right? Greens are when you are things that give you energy, things that when you do them, you can do them well, that you could do for a long period of time, whatever they are, right? Nobody, and I just want to say, nobody on the planet gets to do whatever they, you know, live out of their greens 100% of the time. So that's a little bit of a fantasy. I just want to burst your bubble here. But what if you were living fully of your greens and you began to focus and let the Lord move you in a way where you actually were stewarding and living out of, say, 50 or 60% of your greens, that you were doing things that you were made to do and wired to do, right? That's a home run. You're gonna be like, wow, right? Because nobody. So we have greens, we have yellows. Yellows are things that we can do, and we can actually kind of do them well. But maybe we shouldn't do them. You know, maybe for someone else they're greens, but for us, yeah, I can do them. And this is a big part of our life is we find ourselves doing things that may not be energizing for us, but you know, we do them. Right? And so, and then obviously the reds are what, right? No go. How many of you have things you know you just don't want me doing, right? You don't want me being an administrator. I'll just tell you, it's not going to go well for us, right? certain things that I just shouldn't do, okay? There's certain things that you weren't made to do, right? And I want to just say to you that it's okay, right? Now, certainly there are seasons in life that require us all to stretch and all to have to do things and things that we never thought we would be doing, things that we couldn't imagine ourselves doing. And sometimes those are by just providence, God's providence. Sometimes they're just because, you know, the reality is, guys, that your design and your story gets shaped by three powerful influences. One is the fact that you were created this way, right? And your story is a part of a much larger story. It's a subplot to God's story. But the fact that you were created with design, you were created by God, you were created with intent, yet we also know that a part of our story is that we live in a fallen and broken planet. So our design gets marred, it gets twisted, our circumstances and our world gets twisted, which I believe prevents us from actually living out of God's intent and design for us. And then finally, there's this redemptive process, right, where we're redeeming our lives. Part of what God is doing is he's redeeming your life so that you can live out of your design, who he made you and created you to be. So we want to discover and spend you will spend the rest of your life discovering. Okay, so this is a lifelong process. But not only do we need to discover, but we are going to have to learn how do I align myself and and so it takes steps of faith, risk, stepping out of maybe what you find yourself into and having to explore a little bit some other options that could allow you to live out of your design a little bit more. So once you align yourself, then you have to steward that for the rest of your life. You'll be committing. You just got to commit. I'm committed to living out of my design. I'm committed to living out of who God has made me to be. I don't want to compare myself with others. I want to steward my design in a way that when I do that, I'll be like Eric Little, remember, out of Chariots of Fire, right? You know, he was made to run. He was running. And when he ran in the Olympics, he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure, right? God wants you to feel his pleasure as you live and steward out of your design. But something else happens when we do that. We find that we also have increasing passion about what I'm doing with my life. And you just sense God's blessing, God's smile. You'll have power. You'll see God work and move in your life. You'll feel, that you'll feel like I'm being fruitful, I'm being productive in my life. And your life will begin to proclaim God's glory in a beautiful, beautiful way. Now, as you embrace and commit to your design, What will happen is that you will begin to grow in your faith and your trust in God himself, in your designer, right? As you see him work. So here's the question that as I look around the room, I have people in all stages of life, right? So how do I steward my design, and how do I know what season I'm in? Because there's a progression. Not only do you have a design, but you also have the fact that you don't stay the same, but we're maturing and we're growing and we have seasons of life that we go through, right? Yes? Okay. So how do I know what season of life I'm in? And you also have directors. You have situations and circumstances. Some of you have families and children and, grandchildren and that's a director for your life, okay? Just because you maybe were made to be an artist and a dancer doesn't mean that you get to run off and forsake your responsibilities as, a father or a mother or, whatever. So steward as well the things that we do. Just like my special needs son. He's a director in my life that that causes me to have to steward my design in a way that includes him and also allows me to be responsible to steward what I believe God's calling me to do and given me to do with my life. Okay? So God's continually, here's the good news, guys. God's continually developing you over a lifetime, but it will happen in seasons. His top priority is to conform you into his image, to mature you so that you can live out of love in the way that you respond, that you're not responding to people out of fear, but that you're living out of love, that God is directing your hearts into his love, so that this life of enduring fruitfulness can flow out of your being. Okay? So I want to walk through some of the seasons that we go through in our life. If you're in your 20s, one of your primary assignments and parts of the discovery process is actually just learning about who you are. The big question that you're going to be asking is, who am I? Right? Who am I? How do you discover who you are? Right? And here's what I want to say about, first of all, why it's important that we understand, first of all, we have a general Christian purpose. And part of that is that you understand your identity in Christ. Because we don't want our identity necessarily to be driven by the quest for our purpose, right? We want our identity to be rooted as a son or as a daughter so that I'm free to live out and be who God's called me to be. Okay, so don't confuse identity and purpose. They're very different. Your purpose is a part of your identity, but it's not all of your identity. And so in your 20s, how do you learn who you are? You do a lot of things. Try a lot of things. You are, man, this is the season to just go for it, right? Just go for it. Study. If you don't like, you know, man, if you're studying something and you're like, this is just not working, right? It's okay. You're only 20. You have your whole life before you. Don't worry. You don't have to pick one thing and that thing has to be it. There. So you can have a lot of jobs. You can do a lot of things. You can try a lot of things. You can experiment. Take a lot of low-risk probes. But that's what your 20s are. They're really about learning. See, the challenge in your 20s is you don't have a lot of life experience to know who you really are. So you're getting experience. But something starts happening as you move from your 20s into your 30s and the next, you know, kind of 20 years of your life, you start moving into a season where primarily you start contributing. And the big question for you in your 30s through your 40s is, where do I fit? How do I, you know, find, now I kind of know who I am, I've got these skills, I feel like I've got a few gifts in this area, but now where is it that I get to serve and contribute and to be fruitful and productive and bless and so this is the work of your 30s. Now something unique happens in your 30s. Those of us who are in our 40s and 50s can identify. In your 30s, you can do a lot of things. And you can gut out a lot of things, right? You can do anything. You can gut it out. You can stay up all night. You can pull those all-nighters. You can have three jobs and, you know, after you're done, you know, go to the gym and work out for 2 hours. And you can live on ramen for the rest of your life, you think. You can do those things. But as you start getting into your 30s, you start finding, I don't quite have the energy that I used to have, right? I can't gut out what I can't do it, man, right? Why is that? Well, you know, you could say, well, I'm getting older. What if it's by design? What if God is getting you to a place where you can't do it all anymore because now it's time to decide It's time to choose. It's time to focus. Okay? So it's not a bad thing. It's just meaning God's saying, hey, look, you got to focus. You got to spend some time in your life focusing on what I want you to do. All right? So that's one of the dangers, in your 30s and your 40s is trying to, you know, live like you're in your 20s. Because you're not. Toward the end of the season, you stop moving away in your 40s and 50s. You stop moving away from kind of this beast about significance. You start thinking about things that are going to set you up for your 50s and your 60s and even on into your 70s, which is really kind of the third work is it's what we call legacy. Okay? And legacy, by this point in your life, you kind of know who you are. You kind of know your limitations. You kind of know what you're good at, what you're not. Hopefully you do. You know where you fit. You kind of know where you don't. You know what your greens are. You know, you got a pretty good idea what your reds are and your yellows. Okay? So now you start asking the question, who do I invest in? Because legacy is not about how much money you leave behind, how much fame you leave behind, how much success you leave behind. It's not you building your name, your brand, whatever. Legacy is about you passing on to the next generation and investing in the next generation. Okay? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:2, and he said, Timothy, I want you to take what I've given you and I want you to pass that on to faithful men who will pass it on to others. Right? In that one small passage, we have four generations. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, and faithful men to others. Okay? So the things that God has now, by the time you're in your 50s and 60s, you have loads of life experience. Right? Along with some wisdom and some gray hair to prove it and some experience and your skills have, you kind of have got your skills, your toolbox is kind of what's in your toolbox. Now, you know, there's a few folks that may go back to school and, you know, and again, I just want to say that this is a continual cycle, you know. It's not like you're done learning in your, you know, 50s and 60s. I'm a new grandpa, a grandfather of 2 months. So, you know, it's like this new love in my life. And I get to experience, you know, a new thing, which is really, really cool. So we're always experiencing these new things. But this is part of this season of life. You start facing the reality of your mortality and things like that. And that just, again, is one more thing that brings more focus to your life. Because if you believe that God has given you and created you with design and purpose, then He's created you with design and purpose through each season of life. Things experience as well. Now, some of the dangers of that season are that yeah, we don't have the energy we used to have, so we can kind of dabble and we can kind of plateau. And we just start dabbling in stuff. Because by the time you get into your 50s and your 60s, sometimes, you know, you kind of been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So it's important that you steward your design through all of the seasons of life. All right? Let me talk to you about what you need to do this well. You can't do this alone. Just can't. You need coaches, you need peers, you need friends, deep-spirited friends who can speak truthfully into your life, that you can use as sounding boards and mirrors to say, you know, I see myself this way. Is this, you know, am I missing something here? You know, you're listening for the people who are in your world who tend to kind of say, dude, you're really, man, when you do that, God is all over that, you know? Or I just see, sense something really beautiful when you do that, you know? I became part of a ministry that was an evangelistic ministry using the arts, using dance, okay? Now, I had never had dance before then. I'd enjoyed it, and I was okay at it. I was decent at it. But, you know, through my 20s, we started learning, we started growing, and we created this beautiful production. And it was designed, we traveled around the world, we spent 15 years, my wife and I on the road, traveling, and we were living in community. We were a true apostate monastic community, traveling, a band traveling from city to city, proclaiming the gospel, staying in homes, and living, you know, by faith. And it was a beautiful season of our life. But it was during that season of my life, as I was doing that, that when I was involved in part of the leadership of the team, and people would say, "Man, you have such a pastor's heart." Right? And they would just say, I just tried to live out of my design. I wasn't trying to be a pastor. It was just kind of people noticed, right? And so over time, I began to that. Encouragement to you guys is, first of all, you can't do this alone. You need people to help you, right? Secondly, pay attention. Pay attention to what God is doing in your life. Pay attention to what God is saying. Okay? And third, understand that there will be things, there will be interruptions, there will be obstacles, there will be hurdles, there will be things that you have to walk through, some painful things that we're constantly, the journey to maturation in our lives requires that we know how to recover from those things, that we learn that God is a healing God. So, sometimes there's stuff in our world, that in our lives, that prevents us. And this is why the spiritual process of transformation is so important, the spiritual formation, that what God is doing in your life, because He wants to bring you to places where the brokenness in your life, maybe there's been trauma, things that have happened to you, things that haven't happened to you that should have, and that, you know, you get blocked up. So go after healing, man. Go after inner healing. Go after all the things that you can get that will free you up to be who Christ died for you to set. He died to set you free, right? So be free. And there's a journey of freedom that you're all on, that you have to walk through. And so really that process of ongoing, what I call recovery and ongoing belonging. You have to belong to be able to live this out. Because you can't even utilize your design apart from having a place to live out your design. And I believe the body of Christ is the most beautiful. It's what God intended for us, right? For the toe to be the toe, and the ear to be the ear, and the eye to be the eye, and the heart to be the heart. And when we do that, man, God gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Yeah. So this is one of my favorite quotes. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Amen? So, if you want to find out more, there's a great book called The Making of a Leader by Robert Clinton that I would highly recommend. It talks about the seasons of development of leadership, and we all have leadership in certain ways, whether you're leading at work or whatever. You could also go to youronedegree.com, and they have free coaching online. I don't think it's online, but they do have free coaching. And they have some great assessments that you can take that help you determine what are your drivers, and what are your... I'm actually going to do one other thing. I'm going to put my... Well, actually, let me just give you... I'll give you my email, in case it's, my email is rnix@bctulsa.com. So just in case you have some questions or you have a little bit of challenge on your One Degree website, because I'm not sure, I know you can order stuff. There's a book that you have to order, or the exercises that will walk you through. But after that, there is coaching. They can do coaching on Skype and things like that. But we need coaches. We need mentors. We need peers. We need people in our lives who are speaking. And if you're young, I just want to say, you got to ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask for it. If you're older and you're in a season of legacy, you kind of have to also ask for it. Because I just know that it's just the way it works. And there are a lot of young people who are desperate to have mothers and fathers speaking into their life. And there are mothers and fathers who have a lot to give, who feel like maybe, you know, for them, they you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, what this next season of life is like. So that's part of it. Yeah.